As we open our prayer meeting, you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And in our study, remember, we looked at Luke and chapter 2, verse 49. At the age of 12, our Lord Jesus was about his Father's business. And thus we studied being in the same business under the same Father. The battle, the burdens, and blessings and all that go with it. And we try to remind ourselves, that's our assignment. Now, keep in mind, if you would, that in John, the Lord Jesus Christ, as you know, in the chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God made himself, exposed himself in a most perfect way, in a perfect human born in Bethlehem of Judea. And he explained himself, John 1:18. His ministry, the Lord's ministry, was to give explanation and clarity to the person of God. That was his assignment. He represented the Father. And thus, as perfect humanity, his perfect humanity in perfect deity. So here in John chapter 4, he's representing God the Father. And just picking up where we've been looking, etc. Chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, in the light of having food and needing food, verse 34, my meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My wonderful purpose is to represent God the Father, so that in my perfect humanity, you are able to understand God in his perfect deity, so that you can understand God and know God, the invisible, infinite God, which apart from our Lord Jesus showing God to us, we can't touch him, feel him. You can't use any senses. He is the invisible God, infinite, always present, everywhere, all at once. So God, you did that for us, and our Lord Jesus, that is his ministry. Now, just to lock that in, so you lock it in again, chapter 5 and verse 30, remember, I came to do my Father's will and to finish the work. So, God, you want to make that clear, verse 30, chapter 5, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Why is that? Because I seek not, N-O-T, mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. I don't come to seek my will, but the will of the Father. Over to John chapter 6. I'm just picking up little things to remind us. John chapter 6, and going again in the little section, but we'll just get the first verse. Verse 38. 6 and 38. For I came down, said the Lord, from heaven. Why did you come down? Not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day, etc. Verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear, and God makes it very clear in the last living apostle, the Apostle John, that Jesus Christ's ministry was to exercise the word, will, work of God the Father, so that we would know God by way of a human, the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, you remember the person's healed and they wanted to know how come, etc. I'll pick up a little bit of the context. Verse 29. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now their statement. Jews, they understood. What did they understand? Verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. So were you conscious of doing God's will? Yes, we are. We understand that you need to do God's will. So here we are exercising our own heart so we get tuned in as we ought to and stay tuned in. Now, in the light of that, over to John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect example, and as my Father sent me, so send I you, John 17. And so we're sent. So God, as we are going to be reminded, chapter 7 and verse 17, if I may. If any man, they may or may not, third class, you may or may not do it. if any man or anyone will do his will, God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, the teaching, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And we did that in our study of John in the morning. But the point, just to remind ourselves, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. So God, you expect believers to be doing your will just like you do. That's correct. And we share together at some length to remind us, and not so we don't forget, when you become a child of God in a most wonderful way, you may want to turn, you're right in John, go over with me to chapter 5, John chapter 5. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then verse 24 becomes a wonderful reality. Verily, verily, or most assuredly, or amen, amen, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath what? Everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, and is passed from death unto life. So they have everlasting life. It's a gift, and you've gone from death to life, from a relationship, from being without a relationship to having a relationship, a wonderful relationship to the living and only God, to be able to enjoy His uncreated life. You have physical life on earth as a soul, spirit, but when you get saved, you enjoy a wonderful relationship to God, which involves living, involves life. Now, when you become a child of God, you become also at the same moment in history, you become a son of God. And we become a son of God, as we shared over and over, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. The Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, his ministry is to show forth the Father. And so as believers, as sons in the Son, in Christ. He's the Son. We're sons. And in the Son, we're able to have a wonderful relationship to God as He does. And we are able to go and be about the Father's business. We are to understand, we are to exercise the Father's will and work and way. And we understand that's our privilege. That's our assignment, is to represent that and to show forth the Father. And add to that, all of it goes together. You'll remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1, is the head. And the believers that get saved in the church age now, have a unique relationship to God as sons in the body. They're part of the body. So, as your body represents your head, and it would violate everything if your body did different than your head does. Fortunately, your body honors your head all the time. What is a body for? To show forth the head. How could you show forth your head if you couldn't express it with the rest of your body? You've got to have a body to show it, to do it, to move, and come and go. So God, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, is to show forth the head. Thus, believers are to what? Show forth the head. So their assignment, why they're still alive on planet Earth after they get saved, is to show forth their relationship to God by, as being a son and being part of the body. And that's their assignment. Continue, and you know that from all these different things. You know that the purpose that's different from the Old Testament, from the tribulation, and the millennium. What is that? That God is doing something wonderful. When Christ rose again from the grave, he reminded everybody that the only sign he would give to the world until he comes is the sign of the prophet Jonah, as he was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So shall the Son of Man be. And the only sign I'm going to give the world is my resurrection. What is your assignment? What is our assignment? It is to represent the life, the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. And we have thus body, head. No one else has that. Just now in the church age, just in grace, you have it if you're a child of God. And it's a awesome thing, and usually, unfortunately, 90%+ never seem to get a hold of it. If they did, it would be hugely different, hugely different. Now, here we are looking, God, and so we have a wonderful, wonderful reason to exercise, as sons, to exercise your goodwill, to be about the Father's business, as a part of the body, to represent the head, and that's our assignment. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't make it happen. It is happened. When you got saved, that's what happened. You became a new creature in Christ, and you passed from death unto life at that moment of time. So now, having said that, you passed from death unto life. Go with me, please, over. Remember now, Hebrews and chapter 2. The book of Hebrews. And chapter 2. Remember, Hebrews is all about growing, and knowing, maturing as believers. And right in the beginning, he says something that stands out very clearly. And Hebrews chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 3. How, H-O-W, shall we escape if we neglect, if we are indifferent, if we don't care, if we're negligent? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And thus we have all the epistles, etc. Now, in the light of that, how do we escape? Not just say, well, I received him as my Savior. That's an awesome thing. Whatever it is, God, you're talking about, it's great. And thus, we're trying to hit it. It isn't just saying, I received Christ, I got a little ticket to heaven. Isn't that? Heaven is just a byproduct of getting saved. Now is when you enjoy life. Your purpose for being alive is to represent, the Lord Jesus Christ is representing his resurrected life. We're to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 4, and 5. We're to walk in that. We're to live in that. So our whole being now is to be educated and have a learning experience, to have an enjoyable experience of being a believer. in a very troublesome world. So here we are in the believers, looking to God to outwork His goodwill in our life. And as sons, and God is going to work His wonderful will out, and being saved is to enjoy that privilege. As my Father sent me, so send I you. The glory, John 17:22, just a couple of steps down, the glory which I have what? Given to you. I gave it. It's a gift. I gave you all the equipment. I gave you everything. Heaven has already sanctioned it and signed off on it for you to have everything you need to enjoy being saved in so great a salvation. Not some little puny thing we come and go. It's an awesome thing. Just think of what we're looking at, what we're trying to get a hold of. That's your whole wonderment, God, that you would allow a human being to be saved in such a way as to express your wonderful person in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, how shall we escape so great a salvation? So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to go over to Philippians and remind ourselves. And in Philippians, if I can, you're familiar with all these things. His word, His work, His will, His ways. God's going to outwork Himself. So God, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And what are you going to do? Well, you're going to roll up your sleeves and understand. Verse 12, Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not anyone else's, yours. You work out your what? Salvation. That's God's so great salvation. We're looking at it. We're trying to talk about it. We're trying to understand it. God, you gave us a wonderful life, your life, to represent you as a son in the Son, so that we on planet Earth would continue each generation until you come, the believers in the church, the body of Christ, are to represent you. So wherever we are, God, we bring you to work, home, school, kitchen, bedroom, bathroom. God, wow. So that's our assignment, is to for you to be exposed, for us to expose you to the world in our work, home, school, coming, going, playing, everything we do. So we're to expose you to the world, and we're to do that. We're to work out that great, great salvation, that unique relationship. Now, and you always know this, and the reason, verse 13, 2:13. The reason, the basis, there has to be some support, some authority to make it work, otherwise we're just pie in the sky dreaming. Verse 13, for it is God, which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God is going to work His will in you as a believer. That's what God's going to do. And He's going to do it. He's going to do it. So God, what do I expect from you? God, if I'm going to work out my relationship to you, what am I going to discover? Your wonderful person and your wonderful purpose for my life, for each life. So God, as we do that, we're going to come to grips with what you have in mind when we were never existent. In fact, we were in your mind before angels were ever created. We were in your mind, God. And you had all of that planned. Uh-huh. And then I created you. And here you are to learn that. And so, God, it's an awesome thing that we are to go and work out your goodwill. Not my goodwill, and not anyone else's goodwill, your goodwill. your wonderful will for our life. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, go with me over, please, in your Bible, in the light of that. Over, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. And you need assistance in working it out, so we aren't left on our lonesome. And so, God, how are you going to help me? And what are you going to do to help me? For what? God, I can expect your help, work, home, school, 24 hours a day, whatever I eat, drink, do, whatever I do, do it to thy glory and honor. God, what can I expect from you? What are you going to do for me? I have all these things in my head and heart. What are you going to do? Ah, Romans chapter 8, the Spirit of God is going to do what? Verse 26, picking up a little context. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not, we don't know, what we should pray for as we ought. So, boy, that's a big help, because your ways and your thoughts are higher than the heavens. So, how can we? I don't know how to work out the next 3 hours. God does. I don't. What do I have? I have no control. No, none of us do. So, God, you're going to go and pray for us as we don't know how to do it as we ought, but you do. Now, verse 26, the Spirit himself, or itself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Spirit of God is going to deal and outwork the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross to outwork the benefits of being alive on planet Earth. He's going to work all of that out, work all things together for good. He's going to do that. Now, verse 27, that's what he's going to do. He that searcheth the hearts, that God, you know, God the Father, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Because, why does God know God? Because he, Spirit of God, maketh intercession on our behalf for the saints according to, not what you wish or I wish, according to the will of God. So God, what are you going to do? I'm supporting, the Spirit of God is supporting the Father's will. What are we to do? Look to the Father's will. I'd be violating it. That's what I'm saying. Most prayer meetings, everything, they're all over the place. And we never get that amening unity that God is seeking. And thus, we don't have much. So now, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them love God who of them are called according to his purpose. Why is that? Because it's in the will of God. Your wonderful, wonderful will for our life. And the Spirit of God. So what am I supposed to do now, working out my own salvation, not anyone else's, my relationship to you, God? Chapter 12 of Romans. Chapter 12. And if you would, in chapter 12, picking up, if I can, in chapter 12, verse 1, you'll pick, this is summing up all those great truths in the book of Romans. Chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, we're bought with a price, the Spirit of God is our owner, is we are the temple of the Spirit of God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And, negatively, be not conformed to this world. Don't even try to cope. The world system is against God, is a godless system. So you don't want to follow it. You have to follow the will of God, not the will of the world. And be transformed, verse 2, positive, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we need to think good, think right, in order that we may prove and put to the test what is the good and acceptable, the word well-pleasing, good and acceptable, well-pleasing, and perfect, complete will of God. That's our prayer. That's your prayer if you're saved. That's what you're looking for. You want to pray? You want answers to prayer? You got it. Otherwise, we're talking a whole lot of talk. And God, it's so remarkably wonderful that you've made it so, as we shared last time, that as a son, as a believer, you have, as we shared together, you have a key to the Father's house. You have a key. Not only do you have the key to get in the house, you have direct access to the Father's heart. Direct. Instant. No delay. Even before you call, He hears. Every single believer has that direct access. That's awesome. An awesome thing. Wow. So we have to, God, where are you? I hope you're going to be somewhere and do something. Forget that. Get to the place where you understand you're in the presence of God. And God has made it so awesomely simple and wonderfully wonderful for us to be able to have access to Him as children, as sons. So now, working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, doing so. Now, having that little bit in mind, if you would, go with me, please, over to, let's try Hebrews. Back to Hebrews. Hebrews, if you would. There's all kinds of ways to do this, so just trying to find a thing that may fit for the moment. Hebrews, if I can, in chapter 10. Hebrews in chapter 10. Now remember the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to do the Father's will. The Father's will, He came, born in Bethlehem, Judea, to die on Calvary's cross. God's will. And He said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will. That's what He said. Not my will, but thy will be done. Now, putting that, I want to lock that in. For me, for you. Hebrews 10, picking up, please, in verse, in verse, in verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, God's word. For what? To do thy will, O God. Above, when He said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin, thou wouldst not. Neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. In other words, what the law and Moses and Aaron did is one thing. What Jesus Christ perfectly does is another thing. In honoring perfect sacrifice, perfect substitute, perfect Savior. Verse 9. Then said He, lo, I come to do thy will. There it is again. O God, He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. That Moses, Aaron went off, disappeared, and He fulfilled all of the type and testimony of every sacrifice that Aaron ever made in his body in the tree when he died. Verse 10. By which will, there it is again, we are sanctified. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ for all, once for all. So God, when you went to the cross, you took us there. You took us to the cross, and we died. You took us to the tomb, we were buried. You took us, and when you arose. So when we die with you, and we identify with you, we end up living with you. We are sanctified by your will. Verse 14. For by one offering He hath perfected, made complete, to bring to an end, to want, lack, nothing, to make everything all that it should be. Perfected, perfect tense, all done. When He died, He did it all. When He said finished, He did something wonderful to make something. So what are we doing as believers? We are learning by faith to latch on to all that God has made possible when He saved you. All finished. That's like Hebrews, the rest we've been doing, R-E-S-T. God, so here we are looking to you, God, and you have made it very, very wonderful for us to be able to look to you and trust you with all our heart. Now, having said that little bit, over to chapter 10, picking up, please, if I can, staying on the same theme. Chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, boldness, which hath great recompense of reward. It's very rewarding if you're just going to trust God with all your heart. Do it. Do it. Verse 36. For you have need of patience, bearing up under the load, that after you've done the what? The will of God. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So what are we looking for? God, our assignment is to outwork your wonderful will, work out your own salvation, fear and trembling, for it is you, God, which worketh in both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So now, God, looking to you, and in verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. So God, we can look to you, and I want you to do my will. That's what I came for. I set the pace. I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Our assignment is to continue that outworking. That's our assignment. You would never know it sometimes. That's our assignment. And that's what we're to do. So we're to outwork your wonderful will in a most wonderful way for our life. And God, that's what we're to do. So we're to look to you to have that happen. So now, and before we're going to come back to Hebrews, back over, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. And you would recall, in our studies, remember the little words, big, big little words. Chapter 14, verse 14. If you ask anything... And remember, the word ask is the word desire, the desire of the will. Will, W-I-L-L, the word A-S-K, the desire of the will. What's your willing? What's your determination? What are you trying to get? Willing, willing, willing. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And that's the same word. Now, we're about us, it's about him. So if we ask anything, and we share together, at some length, why we ask in his name. It isn't in our name. We have no credentials. We don't have one blessed thing to offer God. We have no authority. We have no crisis, pain, need. No, the only authority we have as sons now is that in the Son. And as sons, we come in the name of the Son, and God hears his Son. And since you're in his Son, he hears you. And he's going to hear you in the light of his Son. So everything, here we are in our flesh, but God sees us in his Son. Wow. That's an awesome thing. So in your name, we need to pray in your name. If we ask anything in your name, that helps us right off about asking, praying about anything in your name. It doesn't mean a little abracadabra and you get your prayer because you said the magic combination. No, no, no. In my name. So I ask a lot, God, I don't know your will. I don't know how to do it. The Spirit of God does. And so here, cancer coming, going, all kinds of things in your life, in people's lives, in the world. And what are we going to do? We're going to look to you, God, to outwork that in our lives, in anywhere else that has to be, that you're doing it, but do it in our life, because we're counting on it for you to outwork your wonderful will for our life, and in your name, because of who you are. And adding to that, over to 1 John, First John and chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, you would remember And I'll read verse 13 just to give a little background. These things have I written, that's why we're reading them. These things have I written unto you that believe, believers, whosoever that believe, on the name, praying in Jesus' name, on the name of the Son of God, who he is, he represents the Father, that you may know, K-N-O-W, not hope, not feel, that you have what? Eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So we need to have a know-so, so we can say so, so we can show so. So verse 14, and thus if we know, then this is the confidence, the boldness that we have in him, that if we ask, there's your little word, ask anything, according to, the little preposition means a standard. What's the standard? What's the standard? What's the word? What are we asking based on what are the terms of our asking? In his name, and here in verse 14, if you ask anything according to his will, what do you know? He hears you. You want his will. We've been saying it for how many times? So God, your wonderful will for our life. And so here we are looking, and if we're asking, then we know you hear us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So verse 15, we're knowing again that he hear us, and he does, because we're asking for his will. It doesn't mean we told them what to do or how to do anything. All we're doing is, God, you're God, so I'll work the next 10 minutes, next 20 years of my life. If we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask in his will, we know what? That we have the petitions that we desired of him, because God wants to outwork his what? His will. So how can you go wrong? You're asking in God's will, we know it's right, so that's what I want. I don't know how it's going to work out. How do I know the next 10 minutes? God does. And that's what I want. God's will, there, and we're going to stumble along, and God's going to help us learn all kinds of things as we stumble. And remember, if you took Peter and all that, if you suffer, you're going to suffer in my will. You're going to have all kinds of hard knocks in my will. I'm going to let a lot of things happen in me, in your life, in my will. And that's all you want. I don't care. If it's your will, God, for us to get hit with a steamroller, then do it. If it's your will that we put our head down and they chop it off, do it in your will. I don't remember the Apostle Paul or any of them, any record, where they said, oh no, I hope, don't hurt me. Do you remember Paul saying that? Nero was going to take his head. And Paul said, oh no, I want to keep my head. No, he didn't. You have no record of that. They never did that. What was it that's so marvelous? Think of the Fox's Book of Martyrs and all the thousands of people that were killed in Rome, and that one street going into Rome, Nero had 6,000 of them hanging up on a cross, all tarred, burning tar, lighting up the pathway into Rome. All of them burning on the cross. Wow. And God's, God, you do, I do. But God said, hey, you want my will, and I'm going to do it in a most wonderful way. And it's going to honor me and going to glorify me, and you are going to be blessed. So now, God, here we are looking to you. And over, if you would, over back over to, on our way back, stop at 1 Thessalonians. On our way back, 1 Thessalonians, and in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, remember, what are you going to remember? Well, of all the wonderful will of God, what is the will of God? Well, he tells you a whole lot of things, and one of them is verse 16, a command, present tense, keep on rejoicing. My joy I give unto you. I didn't ask whether it was good or bad in your life. I want you to know that I'm happy being who I am and doing what I do in my will. So you, I'm giving you my joy. Not your joy, my joy in what I'm doing. If I don't line up with God's will, it's awful hard for me because I'm trying to make the events and circumstances match so that I feel good. I'm trying to make me feel good here and not bad. But if I want God's will and I'm truly looking for it, then the ship can sink. It doesn't matter. God, honor yourself. And that's what God's going to do. And I'm going to be able to rejoice because it's in God's what? It's in God's will. And God, my joy I give unto you. What I'm doing, not what you're doing, what I'm doing. What I let happen and don't let happen. Wow. So we're learning. Uh-huh. And you know, pray without ceasing. There's another command. Present tense. And our point in what we're doing. Verse 18. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning, what's the last word? If you're reading it, if you read it, what does it say? You. You. To give thanks. Uh-huh. That's my will. Well, give thanks for what? Aren't you trusting me? To outwork your life. To outwork everything. And that's my assignment. My assignment, the world's doing what they do. But as believers, our assignment is to represent the resurrected life of Christ that continues to be lit, light in the darkness, and we're going down the corridor of time, and our job is to represent God. What did Christ do? The Son, and we son, and we are sons. What are we doing? The same thing. We're representing the Father's will, work, way, and we're going down the corridor, and we're learning it. And it isn't some big feeling or anything. It's just something we have, something we know. And God said, you just honor me in my name, ask according to my will. You want my will, desire it. That's what you're going to choose at any given moment. Choose my will. And by the way, rejoice always. Always stay in fellowship. And in everything give thanks. And you and I will get along quite well. Now that doesn't seem very complex. Wonderfully simple. God, you didn't ask a whole lot out of me. No, I didn't. You just asked us to trust you like that. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, while you're right here, why not? 1 Thessalonians 5, just slide down a little bit, and verse 23. For the very God of peace sanctify, Hebrews 10 we read, I sanctify you. My will is to sanctify and set you apart. Hebrews 10. My will is to sanctify you and set you apart. So that God can have his wonderful way in your life, in our life. And thus the very God of peace sanctify you, set you apart holy. Holy, and I pray God for your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, God adds, faithful is he that calleth you, who also, W-I-L-L, will do it. You're going to do it. I am. So when we play around with the whole thing, it's unbelief and foolishness because we miss out. We lose out. Instead of being bank rich, we become bankrupt. Now, if you would, over in Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, picking up, please, in thought. And you are familiar, again, verse 5, 13, 5, as we come to the end. Remember the beginning of Hebrews, work out, how are you going to escape if you neglect so great a salvation? How are you going to escape? So that's the beginning, now the end of it. Chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation, your manner of living, be without covetousness, relax. Trust me. And be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will. And when God says I will, he means I will. And so what I want, what do you want in your life? God's will. God's going to do his will. I want his will. You know. Why was I born again? Why was I saved? Why am I born physically? To be born spiritually. Why am I born spiritually? To honor God. So here in verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So God, you're determined. You made a decision. And you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Nope. So that I'm able to now say, and we're able to say, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I, W-I-L-L, will not fear what man shall do unto me. No, it isn't a problem. And 1 Peter, all about is stuff that could happen to you in God's will. And God said, it's no problem. Don't ever let it be a problem to you. Kill, do whatever they want. They aren't going to bother you. They aren't going to bother me. You're only flesh and blood. And I have made you in a wonderful way to know me as your Savior. And I took over your body, the body, your house, flesh and blood, that belongs to me, Hebrews 6. That's mine. 1 Corinthians 6. That's my body. So if you don't mind, if I want to let that fall down and get clobbered, relax. It's all right. Trust me. I'm not going to let anything happen that isn't my will. It has to be my will. And no one opposes my will. You just want to be in agreement with my will. That's what I'm going to do. So we learn to do that. Uh-huh. And now, remember, how should we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So now we slide to the end like we're looking at. The Lord is my helper. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Now, chapter 13, picking up if I can. Oh, in chapter 13, sliding to verse 20. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, Christ died on the cross, etc. That may that make you perfect, complete, in every good work. What on earth for? To do his what? To do his will. So God, you're going to enable us, if we're willing and line up with you, you're going to enable us for us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God, you're going to do that. I am. I am. Are you willing? Are you willing? Say, well, no, think about it. Well, that's what people do. And they go out the door and forget. But hey, it's a wonderful thing. Isn't it? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you practice going to work, school, carrying on your business in the will of God? Wouldn't that make a difference? I don't know. Wouldn't it make a difference? Because everything that you'd be keen, you'd be sensitive to God, because you're looking for his will, and all things kind of things work and don't work and unwork themselves, and all things work together for good, and you're discovering God's wonderful ability to be God. Wow. So, verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you, work out your own salvation, in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through, why is it all there? You're in my name, if you do anything in my will, through, verse 21, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever and ever. And you know what you're going to do is learn to do that. If you're a believer, you're going to exercise that. It's a wonderfully simple thing. It's a wonderfully profound thing that's very simple. In fact, God is wonderfully profound and awesomely very simple. He's God. You don't have a problem being you, do you? Being human? Aren't you? Aren't you all comfortable being who you are? No. God's comfortable being who He is. And we want to exercise that wonderful relationship we're to have as sons. So we're learning to pray, to say amen, to truth, the wonderful truth. So all the things in our life and in our world and all the things that we're looking for God to outwork. God, that's what your job is, to outwork them. So God, that's our job, is to give you credit. We walk by faith and what? Not by sight. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You must come by faith. You either are going to believe me or you don't. I didn't ask you to have a big debate with me. I asked you to give me credit for being who I am. I told you what I mean, what I'm going to do, and how I'm going to do it. Now, either you're going to be one of the rare people that believe me. There's not many that do. And they have no idea of what we're talking about. So, God, you have to help us. And we're looking, God, for you to deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health, our wealth. So we're going to look to the Lord in prayer. Remember our country. Remember the men and women in the military. Remember all the different things going on all over the world, to say the least. To say the least, the believers in very hard places of the world that are under great persecution and trouble. And so as we remember them, remember the choir, remember